thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Any of you ever heard of Abraham? Raise your hand if you've heard of Abraham. Good. So I'm not introducing to 99.9% of us an unfamiliar character. Do you know that when you read the book of Hebrews, most of the heroes of faith get one verse mentioned about them? Abraham gets about 10. He is the father of faith. He is the one that it all started with. He was the man that God came to and said, I'm going to do a work through you, Abraham, and I'm not just going to do a work through you for you. I'm going to do a work in you and through you and for you for the benefit of all others to come. And it's going to be a journey of faith, and you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone, and you're going to have to do things you never thought you'd have to do. You're going to do things you never dreamed you would have to do, and all of those kinds of things. And it's no different today in our lives. And so we're going to start with Abraham, and we're not just going to camp on Abraham. And you've got this on your notes. I think it's true. I think all of us probably like good movies. We like good books. We like things that have plots. We like things that have subplots. We like things that have themes. We like certain characters. We dislike certain characters. But there's things that attract us to novels or movies or different things, sitcoms, whatever it might be. There's things that attract us to that, and oftentimes it's the characters. And the scripture is no different. We're sometimes attracted by certain characters in the Bible. Sometimes we're repelled by certain characters in the Bible, and we think, I don't want to be like him, or I don't want to be like her, or I want to be like him, and I want to be like her, or whatever it might be. And so as we go through this faith forward introduction, let's let our faith be our eyes. Let's let the faith that we as believers have to have, let that be our eyes as we journey and we navigate down that road, and sometimes a road of uncertainty. And here's some of the things that it will require, and they're just some bullet points on your outline. But in order to enter into the zone of the faith forward, we have to leave the familiar. And we have to venture into uncertainty. Abraham had to do that. It's no different today. We have to leave the familiar and we have to venture into the realm of uncertainty. Is that intriguing to you? If that's not intriguing to you, and if that grips you with fear and it does things to you that are unhealthy, then just move in a little closer to the Word and move in a little closer to the Lord, because we have to leave the familiar. We can't enter into the faith-forward reality of walking with God without leaving the familiar. There are perils. When you choose the journey of faith-forward, there are perils. There are oftentimes perils of loneliness and broken relationship. You see it in the Word. You see it in Abraham. You see loneliness. You see broken relationships. Some of us in this room have experienced loneliness, and we've experienced broken relationships, and it is part and parcel of this faith forward. Faith forward, the analogy of that is that faith is that powerful thing that we all need as believers, but the other thing is that we're to move forward. We're to be moving forward in our lives. We're not to be standing still. We're supposed to be moving and pressing in. And so, but oftentimes that leads sometimes to loneliness and sometimes, unfortunately, broken relationships, sometimes separation. We saw that with Abraham, and we'll see it as we dive into God's Word. We see broken relationships. We see uncertainty. We see life. We see death. We see insecurity. We ask questions like, will God provide? We see mysteries and all kinds of things about the Word, but if we'll let our faith be our eyes as we journey in faith forward, God will meet us. I promise you He'll meet us. I promise you He will meet us, because He's not a God that He can lie. He's a God that is faithful, and He's a God that is true to His Word and true to the things that He says. And I want to start in the book of Acts. And remember, we're talking about Abraham, but I want to start in the book of Acts. And I want you to follow along as I read Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. And then I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles. It's not going to be on your outline. And I'm going to ask you to jump to Genesis chapter 12. Because I want to use these two scriptures kind of as a bookend as we get into God's Word tonight. This was Stephen's reply. I don't know if you've been watching the Bible on the History Channel, and I caught part of it the other night, and it was just the part that I actually turned on and caught was the part where Stephen is standing there and he's getting ready to be stoned. You know, there's something about watching these stories in real time, and when it's depicted in a life and death situation, and you feel the emotions of the characters and you see the people involved, and you literally see people picking up these stones and they begin to throw rocks, and eventually Stephen dies right there because he's stoned, the first martyr of the church, and Saul, who becomes Paul, is right there. And you begin to see that. And so when we pick this story up right now in Acts chapter 7, this is right before that happens to Stephen. This is right before Stephen gets stoned and he gets killed. And what he's doing is he's rehearsing the history of God's faithfulness. He's talking about the faith of the man called Abraham from thousands of years ago and how it's moved forward to this man named Stephen, who is standing there saying, I believe in the Christ. I believe in the Messiah. And it didn't start with Christ and it didn't start with the Messiah. It started with the faith of Abraham. And that faith moved forward from Abraham through the patriarchs, through the prophets, and all the way through history to you and I. And it moves to you and I today. And so here's Stephen's reply as they were accusing him. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and he lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live today. So it started really in Babylon. That's really where it started. It started in Babylon, and now where Stephen is standing and where Stephen is talking is that promised land that Abraham journeyed to. And by the way, it took hundreds and hundreds of years before they landed there. Now turn to Genesis chapter 12, and let me just read these very familiar three verses to you, and then we'll dive into this a bit. The call of Abraham starts just a little bit before this in Genesis chapter 11, but in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land, now notice this word, go to the land that I will show you. He didn't start by saying, go to the land that I will give you. Is that a misprint? Is that a typo? God, did you misspeak there? No, he did not misspeak there. God is starting from the very beginning to try to plant something in Abram, to plant something in Abram that needs to be planted in us. God says, leave everything. Leave the familiar. Leave your family. Leave your homeland. Leave all of that and go to the land that I'll show you. Really, God? That's as good as it gets? You're going to tell me to walk away from everything. You're going to tell me to move forward in my faith. I don't even really know you. At this point, Abram didn't even know God. And God comes to him and says, I've got a plan. And the plan includes you leaving and walking away from everything. And it's tethered to, I'm going to show you something. That's tough. Is that enough for you? I don't know if it'd be enough for me. God says, Blake, I want you to leave everything. I want you to walk away from the wells you dug by hand. I want you to walk away from the house you built with the trees you cut down with an axe. I want you to walk away from all that. I want you to walk away from 30 years of labor, and I want you to go to somewhere I'm going to show you something. That's how it starts out. And then he goes on to say this in verse 2, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. Now notice this, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham's been dead for a long time, so how does that happen? It happens as faith moves forward. It happens as we learn and we cling to the promises of God and the truth of his word, and we say, that's for me today. And so as we start out by looking at Abraham, I want to say this to us. History is filled with pioneers. History has always been filled with pioneers. Abraham was a pioneer of faith. He was going somewhere no one had ever gone before. You know, Christianity is not complicated. It's just not completed yet. It's not completed yet because all have not heard the gospel message. So faith forward requires us grabbing hold of this promise that Stephen was clinging to as they were throwing rocks at him and killing him, and Abraham was clinging to from a God who he didn't even know at the time, was saying to him, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you great. And it starts with something that seems so small. I'm going to show you something. There are times that God speaks to us and it seems minuscule and it seems like it's not enough and it seems like it won't carry you through to the next day, let alone the next decade. And yet it's the thing that God knows that you need, plus or minus nothing. And that's part of the journey of faith forward. So I want to go through a few points and just challenge us. And again, we're doing this introduction because we're going to dive into the plots and the subplots. And we're going to dive into the characters. And we're going to look at characters like Lot and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and some of the other characters. And we're going to learn some things from the scriptures about them and how does that apply to us. But your whatever that is up there, the PowerPoint up there, is going to be a little different than what I'm going to tell you. So don't write in what you see on the PowerPoint on point number one. Write in what I tell you. Say, okay. Number one, faith forward will forge new frontiers. Originally, I had the word open in there. I didn't like it as much. Faith forward. So we're talking about being a pioneer. Say, I'm a pioneer. Say it like you mean it. I'm a pioneer. Faith forward will forge new frontiers. See, it takes pioneers to forge new frontiers. It takes pioneers. It takes people that are willing to say, I'm really ready to move forward. The word forge means to advance steadily, but gradually. That's what Abram did. He was willing to advance gradually, but steadily. And that's what we've got to be willing to do. And sometimes it's just taking one baby step in front of the next and in front of the next. And so faith forward is going to forge some new frontiers for you. Some of you need to walk into some new frontiers. There's new frontiers and there's new doors that you need to walk through. There's new frontiers and there's new doors that I need to walk through. But I've got to forge. I've got to advance steadily and gradually. Look at the definition of the word frontier on your outline. It's an outer limit in a field of endeavor, especially one in which the opportunities for research and development have not been exploited or even explored. In other words, it's a place when we're talking about a frontier, we're talking about faith forward. Christianity has not completed its task. It started with Abram thousands of years ago. I'm going to bless you and then I'm going to bless the world through you. That continues today as we pioneer faith forward. As I move forward in my faith, that promise that God made to Abram, and we'll see it in the New Testament as we move along tonight, that promise that God made to Abraham is supposed to be fulfilled in my life. I'm going to ask some hard questions tonight. And they're not all on your outline, but I'm going to ask them because I'm asking them of myself too. And the first one I'm going to ask, and you might think that's kind of silly, but here's my first question. What's your boll weevil? Some of you are looking at me like, what in the world is a boll weevil? What's your boll weevil? In the late 18th, 19th century, early 20th century, the boll weevil was an insect that was destroying cotton crops in the South. In Alabama, just about bankrupt the whole state of Alabama because of this insect called a boll weevil. And it was decimating. It was just taking over and it was destroying. And there was a man by the name of H.S. Sessions who said, no, I'm going to forge a new frontier. I'm not going to let the boll weevil, I'm not going to let the little insect, I'm not going to let that little thing that is 2 inches long bankrupt me. And so what he did is he moved into investigating a new frontier, and his new frontier was peanut farming. And because of H.S. Sessions and his willingness to pioneer a new frontier, Alabama didn't go bankrupt in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And so it's a funny question, but what's your boll weevil? What's the little thing that's trying to eat away? What's the little thing that's eating away at the crops? What's the little thing that's, you know, it's the little things. It's the little fox that spoil the vine. Get rid of the boll weevils. And the way you get rid of the boll weevils is that you forge new frontiers and say, I'm not going to let that thing get in the way. I've got a question on the outline and for you, and I just want you to circle it. It's just really between you and the Lord, but honest question with an honest answer. In what condition would you describe your faith today? Would you say that your faith right now in its present condition, would you say it's stalled? What I want you to do is I just want you to circle one of those, because here's what I'm confident of. It's going to move forward, just like that road right there. I love that graphic, by the way. Just like wherever that word is on the graphic right now, we're going to be further down the road next week. We're going to be further down the road the next day and the next day. But is your faith stalled today? Do you feel like your faith has failed you today? Do you feel like your faith is declining? Do you feel like it's lacking? Those are pretty similar words. Or do you feel like your faith is thriving? Circle one of those and be honest with yourself and let's look at why. Is there a boll weevil? Is there a boll weevil that is, has, could it be that in the wisdom of God, the boll weevil was part of the plan of God because God had something that was going to make the whole state more fruitful? Is it possible that there's boll weevils in your life today, not because God wants them to chew you up, but because he wants your faith to go forward and pioneer and forge a new frontier? I believe it's true. I believe it's true because it's God's word. Number two, faith forward begins with vital contact with God. We see that so clearly with Abram and in this whole interaction. If faith forward is going to begin in our lives, it's going to be because there is vital contact with God. In other words, there's this closeness with God. Because this thing that God was saying to Abram was not an easy thing. Leave everything, Abram, because I'm going to show you something. He literally was saying to Abraham, can you walk away from everything that you know today? Can you just walk away from all of it to just go somewhere I want to show you? And so it requires just this vital contact with God. Look at what Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 say on your outline. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham, underline these two words, please, believed God. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, I want you to notice something very important in the scripture here. He first believed God, and then God counted his faith as righteous. So his faith probably wasn't up to where it needed to be at the time God said go, but he trusted God and he believed God. Sometimes we don't feel like we have the full reservoir of faith. Sometimes we feel like the tank is a little low. Maybe we feel like the tank has declined, or we feel like we're stalled, or we're, sometimes Melinda will call me and she'll say, my light just came on. My gas light just came on. Do you think I have enough fuel to get home? And I say, babe, where are you? And she'll tell me, and I'm always erring on the side of please pull over. I do not want you getting stalled on the freeway. And she never used to do that. She had always at half full, she'd fill it up. But Abraham believed God. We've got to have that belief God tank full. If faith forward is going to happen in our lives, make sure your believability when it comes to God is full. Just don't complicate it. Don't give yourself brain damage about it. Just say to yourself, I believe God. Say it right now. Say, I believe God. I believe God. Say, I believe God. I believe God. Then you have all you need. Message over. Not really. But really, that's what the Bible says. The scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. His faith in what? Being able to believe God. Wow, that's tough stuff. You know, Abraham was willing, and I thought about this today. As I was just going over the notes in my own mind, I thought about this. Abraham would not sacrifice his future for the familiar. What was familiar to him was everything that he had labored for. What was familiar to him was everything that he had put his blood, sweat, and tears into. That was familiar, but he wasn't willing to sacrifice his future for what was familiar. Faith forward will require that. Faith forward will require that we make a choice that I will not forfeit my future for the familiar. The familiar is comfortable and we like it and we're used to it and we get up and it's our routine and we like to live there and I don't like God messing with my world. But when he messes with my world, then I've got to make a choice. Is it about the familiar or is it about the future? And that's what we're talking about. And that's why it's so important to have vital contact with God, close contact with God, rubbing up against God. We were rubbing up against God in worship tonight. Didn't you feel that? We were rubbing up against God in worship tonight. So, I already asked you this question, what's your boll weevil? That's your homework. You need to answer that question. Because if you've got a boll weevil, you either kill it or you forge a new frontier. But those are the only two options. Kill it or choose another. Amen? Okay, number three, here we go. Faith forward requires a response of courage. Faith forward requires a response of courage. It took courage for Abram to say, okay. Verse 4 said, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Abraham was 75 years old when he left. 75. I'm not going to say 75 is old because in 25 years I'll be there. So I don't feel like it's old, but I'm thinking I'm kind of set in my ways, and I don't want my world rocked. The older I get, the more set in my ways I become. Abraham was 75 years old, but he departed as the Lord had instructed. Why? Because faith forward requires a response of courage. There's a question on your outline. What is the most courageous thing you've ever done? And that should not be a condemning question. That should not be a question that condemns you or makes you feel bad or allows the condemnation of the enemy to come on us. It should be a question that inspires us. What's the most courageous thing I've ever done? And write something in there. Because we need to think about that. Because you have been courageous. You are following Christ. That is a courageous thing. You've said no to certain things so you could say yes to other things. That's courage. I think under number three, if you want to just write this in somewhere, where it's faith forward requires a response of courage, I think what that means really is this, that you have to somewhere be willing to say yes to expectation. Somewhere Abraham had to be able to say in his heart, yes to expectation. I have an expectation that if God says to me, leave the familiar so that you can go for your future, what I'm in essence saying is yes to expectations. Yes to expectations. Faith forward is saying yes to expectations. I have expectations that God has great things for me in the future and that he's not going to forsake me and he's not going to leave me. Look what Romans chapter 4 verses 18 and 19 say. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. You think it ever got lonely for Abraham? Think it ever got lonely when he left and thought shoulda, coulda, woulda, all of those kinds of things? For God said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. God came to him and he said, Abram, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless the nations through you. And he's thinking, okay, I'm 75. Now I'm 100. How could that be possible, God? And the reason it was possible is because he said yes to expectation. He had this ability to have courage to trust God in spite of how things looked in the natural. He's 100 years old. It didn't look like in the natural that it could work. Expectation, I wrote this on my outline. Expectation is willing to take on the adversaries that lie in wait at the door of new opportunity. Let me say that again. So if we're going to say yes to expectation, expectation is willing to take on the adversaries that lie in wait at the door of new opportunity. Don't think for a second that there are not adversaries lying at the door of new opportunities. just trying to whisper to you that you'll never make it. Who do you think you are? And I'll just name a couple of those enemies. Fear. Fear. Fear is one of those adversaries that likes to lie at the door of a new opportunity. Oh, man, do you really think you can do that? Do you really think you can handle that? Worry. Worry is another one. I read something today about Walter Chrysler, who was the founder of Chrysler Motor Company. And here's what it said about him. He had a box on his desk, and every time he worried about something, he would not deal with it at that moment. In other words, he chose intentionally not to deal with whatever it was that he was worrying about. He would write it down, he would put it in the box, and he would say to himself, I'm going to deal with that worry next week. And this is what he went on to say. He often found that later on those worries had resolved themselves. I thought, that's brilliant. I got to get a box for my desk. I'm going to get a box for my desk, and I'm going to write worries on it. And I'm going to write them, and I'm going to put them in there, and then I'll open the box next week or the next day, and I'm going to trust that they're going to be taken care of. You know, Jesus said, do not worry. If Jesus said, do not worry, then he meant it. He wasn't a liar. He said, do not worry. So there's enemies of expectation. There's fear. There's worry. There's negativity. If you're saying yes to expectation, then there's adversaries lying at the door of new opportunity, and sometimes it's negativity. Negative Nellies all over the place. The cup is always half empty kind of a deal. Apathy is another one of those adversaries. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. I thought you said it, God. I thought you really meant it, but obviously you don't really mean it, God, because it hasn't happened yet. And that's why faith forward requires a response of courage. Just, okay, God, I'm going to say yes to expectation. Number four. Faith forward may demand an unsure destination. Faith forward, when you sign up for faith forward, it may demand an unsure destination. In other words, we may have in our minds where we think we're going. Has God ever done that to you? You think you know where God's taking you, and then all of a sudden there's a right turn, or there's a left turn, or there's a stop sign, or there's a yield, or whatever it is. So sometimes faith forward demands that there's an unsure destination. And here's another one of the hard questions. I asked you just a minute ago, what's the boll weevil? Here's another hard question. Are you worn out? Because if you're worn out, that's a dangerous place to be. When you get worn out, and I'm talking from experience, I know when you get worn out, that's not good. Because when you get worn out, you become vulnerable and you become susceptible to the enemy. And if faith forward is demanding an unsure destination, there's already enough drama with it. There was already enough drama with Abraham having to leave where he was to go where God told him to go, let alone when you're worn out. How many of you know what it's like to be worn out? I woke up this morning worn out. I took a nap last night is what basically equated to. I just took a nap, and it wasn't even a real long nap. So I woke up this morning, and I felt like a truck hit me. I was just worn out. I was tired. Went to bed at 9:30, and I got up at 12. And I thought, this is not going to be a good day. But it's one thing to get worn out for a day. It's another thing to be worn out for a week or a month or 6 months. And sometimes we get worn out because our faith forward has an unsure destination. We don't know where we're going to wind up. Look what Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 say. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later, notice the word later, go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Remember, we read it in Genesis, go to a land, I'll show you. I mean, he didn't pull up his GPS and say, well, there's a lot of palm trees there. There's a few lakes there, and I could camp out there for a while. He just said, okay, I'll go. And Hebrews is confirming that. He went to the land that God told him to go to, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. This is not home. We are strangers in a foreign country. Heaven is home. This is not home. And there's times we journey from point A to point B, and it's foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So Abram had faith forward to say, okay, God, I'll go to a land that you'll show me. And he looked far enough in advance that he was trusting in a place that was not even built yet. That's what faith forward is all about. You know, when God spoke to Rod 20-something years ago about becoming a pastor, he had to walk that out for the next 20-something years. God spoke it to me. I had to walk it out for 10 years. He spoke it to me in 81. It happened in 91. And all of you have a testimony of having to walk out the journey of the unsure destination. I thought I heard from God. So I'm asking you a couple questions. Are you worn out? Here's another one. Are you ready to quit? Be honest with yourself. Are you ready to quit? Have you got to the place where you're just... And that's why I asked you to come up here tonight. And I didn't ask you. I felt like the Lord asked you to come up here tonight. And just unload your burdens, because when the burdens get too heavy, we sometimes feel like we're just ready to quit. Been a tough couple months for me. Been a tough couple months for Melinda. It's the reality of it. And I'm not quitting. There's no way I'm quitting. But I've been tired. Felt worn out from time to time. Probably more than from time to time. But we got to just keep pressing in, and we have to understand that God is calling us in faith forward. Do you believe that? Say yes. Even if you're doing it by faith. Even if you're ready to quit today, say yes, I believe it. That's faith. That's what God is asking. Listen, if you'll just give him the little that you have, the mustard seed, maybe all you got's a mustard seed, it's enough. A mustard seed's going to grow the mighty tree. It's all that you have, and that's all that you need. So it may demand an unsure destination. Let me give you the last one, and then we'll wrap this up. Faith forward will demand a God confidence. Faith forward will demand a God confidence. And remember, I said, we're just doing an outline tonight. We're just doing an overview of faith forward. We're going to start getting into the plots and the subplots and the characters and all of that kind of fun stuff, and be able to say, so what, now what? And what do I do with that today in 2013? And we're going to learn, and we're going to be able to apply it. But faith forward is going to demand a God confidence. We have to look around, and in spite of circumstances and situations, we have to say, okay, I trust you. So God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the whole world through you. You're going to have a son, and that's going to continue. God, you got that all wrong. I'm 75. You do the math, and he's 100, and Sarah's, there's a problem conceiving in the natural at that age. Now, I just want to close with this verse, because this is where the God confidence part comes in. Abraham has a son. And there's Isaac, and there's the promise. And okay, there it is, God. And he's a teenager. He's probably 12, 13, 14 years old. And sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Really, God? It wasn't enough that you asked me to leave. It wasn't enough that you asked me to walk away from everything that was familiar. That wasn't enough. Now I am here. I'm 100 years old. Or 110 or 113, and I've got a teenage boy, and you're going to test my faith with this boy? It's all about faith forward. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Well, that's tough stuff. I mean, think about the reality of what that was like for Abraham. I mean, go kill your son. And that's why I'm saying, as we go through this faith forward, we've got to have a God confidence, because there are going to be times that God is going to say things that are not going to make sense in the natural to us. And we move forward with this desire to say, okay, God, I'm going to stay in constant contact with you. I'm going to forge the new frontiers. I'm going to allow courage to well up on the inside of me by saying yes to expectation. And I know that there's going to be times that you're going to demand an unsure destination for me. But I'm going to have a God confidence. And if we'll cling to that, if we'll cling to that, God will be as faithful as He was thousands of years ago.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.